to KobeComplete.com today, and we'll be right over.
Hello, this is ABC 7's Wendy Ross. We have mostly cloudy skies, and there's a good chance of rain for later on this afternoon. Temperature highs will be climbing into the low 80s. This is ABC 7's Wendy Ross with the official Suncoast forecast.
This report brought to you by Florida Department of Transportation, alerttodayflorida.com. In Florida, one in every four traffic fatalities involve a pedestrian. Drivers, stop or yield for pedestrians and bicyclists. Pedestrians, always use a crosswalk. Bicyclists, obey all traffic laws. Alert today, alive tomorrow. A message from the Florida Department of Transportation.
Hi, this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana. Everyone is talking about the slippery slope of lipids and other medical issues. Are you listening? Learn about your health and body. Join this live show every Friday at 11:05.
The Slippery Slope of Lipids with Dr. Elizabeth Triana. Fridays at 11:05 a.m. on News Radio 1580 WCCF.
WCCF News Radio 1580.
Good morning and welcome to the Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte, Florida. This is a live medical talk show in which you're invited to participate. If you have a question or comment along the way, please call us at area code 941-206-1580 or toll free at 888-441-1580. And now here's your host of the show, Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Slippery Slope of Lipids. I'm very excited today. I have a wonderful guest. I'm going to introduce in just 1 second. And, you know, I just heard my commercial on the air, and it's so, when I hear my voice on the radio or I listen to playback, I go, oh, that's me.
That's right. You sound wonderful. And for everyone listening out there, if you log on to WCCFAM.com, you can see Dr. Triana and her guest and how beautiful they are. Look at Dr. Triana's colorful top and her colorful outfit.
Oh, and my bright smile, and my guest Carol Katz, too, is very colorful, too, and has a beautiful smile also. So anyways, I just wanted to, to announce to everyone that on May the 2nd, I will be, for the 13th year, Doctor of the Day. What is that? Doctor of the House of Representatives in Tallahassee. Every year, on the last day of the session, I will be their doctor. And I've done this now for the 13th year. And the guest surprise is that my husband, Dr. Katzen, will be Doctor of the Senate. So it'll be a husband and wife team, and we're going to come back with lots of great stories and information about the Capitol in Tallahassee. It'll be my 13th year, and I'm really looking forward to it. So let's start off the show. Today we have a guest. We have Carol Katz. She is a psychotherapist that specializes in addiction for over almost 25 years. She studied meditation and yoga for over 40 years. She has a wonderful experience. So I want to welcome you today, Carol. Welcome.
Yeah, it's great to be here again.
Yes. Oh, yes. Carol was here when we had Ma Ba, and that was a wonderful program, too. But today, Carol will be the guest, and we're going to have a wonderful program, which I feel is so important. You know, this program focuses on your health. And there are so many things we can do to help ourselves. We can focus on our mind, our bodies, our spirit. We know that there is a connection. We know that even in the medical jargon, there is a thing called TLC, therapeutic lifestyle changes. Well, some of the therapeutic changes we're going to talk about today are going to affect your mind and your health. So, Carol, talk to us today about your mind and your health.
Well, we know that the mind is a very special gift. And without it, without a healthy mind, life really becomes impossible. And we could have all the gifts in the world, external gifts around us. We could have great family, great friends, even good health, material wealth. But if we don't have a healthy mind, then we know we have a lot of misery and suffering in our life.
That's true.
And many people don't have their friend, their mind as their friend. So what do we do to develop that? You know, how do we improve our mind? And we have to look at when life presents challenges to us. What do we do with those challenges? Do we succumb to them in unhealthy ways or healthy ways? And I think a lot of people have difficulty sitting in discomfort. You know, and life brings us a lot of discomfort. Physical discomfort, mental discomfort, emotional discomfort. So how do we work with that? How do we work with the discomfort of emotions such as anxiety, anger, aggression, impatience, intolerance? And do we turn them into moments of greater discomfort? Do we turn them into opportunities to feel more love and compassion for others and also for ourselves? You know, we have choices, like what direction do I want to go in any given moment, really, in life? And there are many people that actually feel good when they're angry or they're aggressive. They feel good. They feel empowered by that. And they feel strong. And, but, you know, is that the way we really want to go? So how do we release discomfort? You know, it's like sometimes if I get an itch on my arm and I scratch it.
Right.
I think it's going to relieve the itch. But really what it does is it increases it.
And can make it worse.
But, you know, do I sit in the discomfort of not scratching that itch? Or do I scratch it and make it worse? And I think a lot of times in life, people have a hard time sitting in discomfort. So we repeat a lot of behaviors, a lot of actions that we've done all our life because they're comfortable, even though it's like being comfortable in the discomfort. We know we do something, some action, or we have a thought pattern that brings us discomfort. But because it's familiar and we've been doing it so many years, we just keep continuing it instead of changing tracks. And we need help many times in changing tracks. You know, I work with people that are abusers and addicts of alcohol, substance abuse, or whatever it is that they're abusing. And many, many times they think that by fulfilling the craving, they will subdue it.
Well,
and maybe they do for that split second, but really what by fulfilling that craving, it's just increasing further cravings.
And like addiction. Suffer in silence kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or in groups even. But as far as relieving, just like with the itching, if we don't have the ability to sit in discomfort, whatever it is, that discomfort will just keep increasing. So we have to find ways to deal with discomfort. And there are many ways to, one of which, of course, is meditation. And sometimes people that have unhealthy bodies or unhealthy minds also need medication, as you well know, being a doctor.
Exercise.
Right. So there are all sorts of different ways to deal with it. And, you know, meditation is easy. People think that, oh, God, you know, I can't meditate. And a lot of times people try to meditate and they'll say that, oh, I sat for meditation and my mind became so active. But really what's happening is because they're sitting quietly, they're noticing how truly active their mind is. It's not that the mind is more active, but because we're not moving our bodies and engaging in activities, we're really seeing how active our mind is.
In other words, you're not being distracted. You're focusing on what your mind is thinking or doing.
Correct. So it feels like the mind is more active. And people will get up and they'll say, oh, I can't meditate. You know, my mind just becomes too active. But
how do you define meditation?
Well, meditation is a process. It's a technique for relaxing and calming and centering the mind and learning to be really present. And there are different techniques for that. And, you know, there are people that are great meditators and they enter very high states of consciousness through meditation. But for the average person that meditate, I think most just want to relax. They want to be able to calm their mind or become more focused on a particular thing. I know a lot of athletes mm-hmm. meditate. A lot of people meditate in all different fields of life. So it's a relaxing and calming technique for centering on whatever it is. And
if you have any questions about today's topic, which is meditation, your mind, body, spirit, 206-1580 is our phone number. Call and speak to us and ask a question, and or just call if you have any topic you'd like to talk about.
One thing I'm wondering, I noticed that there's a lot of meditation music out there on YouTube. I go there quite often.
Great.
At nighttime, I'll get on iHeartRadio and I'll look for the meditation channel, or I'll go on YouTube and they have people have put up wonderful music to listen to mm-hmm. while you're meditating. Mm-hmm. Is having music on a good thing, or should you just try to quiet your mind and think of maybe a blank wall or think of nothing?
You mean while you're sitting mm-hmm. for meditation? Well, I think meditative music is good. Definitely. I think whatever works for people to relax and calm their mind and center their mind is good. I personally, not when I meditate, but at other times I also go onto YouTube for chanting music. I love chanting music, so I'll listen to it, and they have incredible channels for that on YouTube or videos. But you know, I hear beautiful music, and just going about my day, if I'm in the house, you know, it's very relaxing. When I hear rap or some other hard rock, you know, for me personally, it's like jarring to my nerves. So that's not relaxing. So if you can listen to music that really relaxes you or to go to sleep by, you know, that's beautiful that you could find that for yourself.
I've always told my friends and family and anyone that I care about, it's my belief, and this has been my belief for years, that what you put into your mind becomes a big, big part of you. So yes. If you're listening to angry music, that's going to affect you. If you're watching horror movies, that's going to affect you.
Absolutely.
So put that's good true. Stuff in.
Yeah, for sure. It's like, I think, therefore I am. You know, it's a great quote. So, and one of the techniques is breathing in meditation. Or even if you're not meditating, but you want to relax your mind and relax your body. You know, when people become angry or upset, their breathing becomes more rapid.
It changes.
It does. It changes. If you're nervous about something, your breathing becomes, it shifts. Either it becomes more shallow and contracted where you can feel in your chest, or it becomes more rapid. So breathing is definitely a technique in meditation. And, you know, I could talk about that maybe a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the thing is, you know, because the mind is such a precious gift, are we happy with ourselves? You know, we all want happiness. So are we happy with ourselves? Are we happy with the way our behaviors are, our thinking patterns are? And how do we change them? And what are we willing to do to change them? So, you know, meditation does calm the mind. It relaxes the central nervous system. It changes heart rate, changes blood pressure.
Oh, yeah. It lowers your blood pressure, decreases your heart rate. It also, meditation, you know, there's a whole information. The National Institute of Health actually has a section called the National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine. It's NCCAM, and there is so much research. They're doing research also on pain management, menopausal symptoms, smoking cessation, weight loss. And these are research at the National Institute of Health using meditation and mindfulness, which we had talked about. More and more focus is being put on what is mindfulness.
Mindfulness really means just being very present with whatever. That's why when people try to meditate and they say, oh, my mind is more active, you know, I can't meditate, I say to them, just stay present with the activity of your mind. Like, don't try to fight it. Just be present. We know a lot of times, I know this happens for me, that I'll be driving on the highway and before I know it, I've passed three exits. You know, you're just driving and you're not paying attention.
You're distracted.
You're daydreaming. So we know that the eyes have seen the road because we haven't gone off the road, but where has our mind been? Has our mind been present with driving? I don't think so, because then we would have noticed exit one, exit two, exit three. But before we know it, we're at exit five. So we're not being present. And I know there are times I'm chopping vegetables and I look up and bam, I cut myself. Now, if I was present, that wouldn't have happened. So mindfulness is really being present with whatever it is you're doing.
It's focusing then.
Yes, it's focusing. It's just being in the moment with whatever. If I'm walking, you know, one foot in front of the other. It could be very simple. You know, there's a mindfulness walking meditation, and you combine breathing with your steps, walking, and it helps to just really concentrate the mind on being present. Because a mind that doesn't have the discipline to be present is, I don't want to say necessarily a weak mind, but discipline helps strengthen the mind.
Well, it's like everything. The more you work with it and train it, like studying. When you study years and years, reading, studying, understanding, you're using your mind to focus on achieving that knowledge or that base of knowledge. So the base of knowledge of meditation is like studying. You have to prepare yourself to do that.
Right. And it takes a lot of practice. You know, I've been...
We have a caller there. Yes, caller.
Hey, you. Is this the radio station?
Yes, it is.
Hi. Who am I speaking with?
This is Dr. Elizabeth Triana. You're on Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues. What's your question?
My question is, because the show I enjoy, and you get very, very knowledgeable, what came first, mindfulness or meditation? Or what comes first, meditation or mindfulness?
That's a great question. Thank you so much for calling. We'll answer that. That's a great question. What came first, mindfulness or meditation?
I'm not sure there's a difference. Well, you know, the word mindfulness has really been a big buzzword the last few years.
Yes.
And we've known about meditation for thousands of years. You know, the great yogis in the East have been meditating for thousands of years. I doubt they knew the word mindfulness, but to truly meditate is to be mindful, because you're being present. And again, for people that are not deep meditators, where you can eventually go beyond the mind, being present with the mind is helpful too, because that in itself becomes a discipline. And, you know, I like to use the example of if a parent comes home to a child and the child wants that parent's attention, you know, it says, Ma, you know, come play with me. And the mother says, oh, I'll be with you soon. You know, soon is a very kind of abstract, nebulous word for that child. Doesn't know what soon means. You know, soon could be an hour. So it keeps bugging the parent.
Right.
But if the parent says, okay, Johnny, I'm going to be with you in 5 minutes, then that child, you know, and then we'll play. The child's okay, and it leaves the mother alone and goes off and knows that in 5 minutes the mother is going to come to it. So the mind is the same way. When we create a discipline for sitting for meditation, eventually the mind knows, okay, this is the time for meditation. It knows it's not going to be necessarily paid attention to. At the beginning, yes. But then as one meditates more and goes beyond the mind more and more, the mind knows. It's like a child. It knows to become quieter and quieter. You know, it's going to go sit in the corner because we're not paying attention to it. You know, it's like clouds in the sky. They come and they go. So we know the sky is there. We know the sky is blue, even if there's lots of clouds. So it's like focusing on the blue of the sky rather than the clouds. Clouds come and go and come and go. So
that's a great analogy, because I see it.
Because the clouds keep coming and coming and going and changing their form and everything. And that's how the thoughts in the mind are. You know, we could be around the world and back in 3 seconds. You know, I could be where I used to live in India and explore the whole area in my mind and come back to Punta Gorda in, you know, 30 seconds or less. Yeah. So the mind's all over the place. So how to, you know, we discipline it.
So we're about to take our little break, but I would like everyone to know that we have as guests Carol Katz. And Carol is going to talk about, too, why her experiences in India and meditation. And we need to talk also so we can get people, maybe if they want to start, like a little ABC of meditation.
Sure, absolutely.
So let's take our little break here. Okay?
You're listening to The Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues here on News Radio 1580 WCCF, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte. We encourage you to visit their new website, which is TrianaPreventionCenter.com. That's T-R-I-A-N-A Prevention Center, all one word, .com. To catch up on previous shows, there's an archive going back to the beginning of the show covering a wide variety of topics. Dr. Triana is accepting new patients currently, and we'll ask the doctor to give her phone number out in just a little bit. In the meantime, if you'd like to call this program, our numbers are 941-206-1580 and toll-free at 888-441-1580. And now back to Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Welcome back, everyone. We have Carol Katz with us today, and I want to welcome you again. Our phone numbers are 206-1580. This is a very important program. We know that our minds are so important. And I love the way you said it, Carol. It's a gift. It's a gift. And how important the mind and the way we feel about ourselves in our mind affects our health. And we were talking about mindfulness and meditation. And one of the questions I was going to ask you is, How do you start meditating? What do you do?
Well, if someone's interested in meditation and they don't have a teacher, my suggestion would be to set aside a few minutes every day, maybe 5 or 10 minutes. Find a spot that you're comfortable in and have it quiet around you where you're not disturbed for those few minutes. And just sit and watch your breathing. Don't do anything with it. Don't manipulate your breathing. Just watch it come in and go out. Feel it in your body. Feel how low it goes into your abdomen, how it comes out through your nose. Just feel your breath.
And we have another caller there. Hello,
hi.
Caller.
Hello?
Yes, this is Dr. Triana.
Hi, doctor. I have a question for what's going on.
Yes.
Trying to get to sleep tonight, at night, at any night. The problem is my mind just spins and spins and spins, and I've taken, you know, all kinds of sleep medication, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. There's no way to quiet the mind when you try to get some sleep. And I'm wondering if meditation and that could even help. Because you do it during the day, but you don't do it at night, or you have to do it before bed, or whatever. Because this is a significant problem now. I'm losing too much sleep too often.
Well, caller, thank you so much for calling, and that is a great question. Carol, would you like to answer that?
Sure. Unfortunately, your problem is not uncommon for many people. And meditation is not just for the daytime. Meditation is for any time. And a great time to meditate is also before bed or in bed. And one thing I do want to say is that people, I don't know what your diet is, but I know a lot of times people will have sugar or drink caffeine products or even alcohol products can be disturbing to sleep. So it's important to think about what you're taking into your body in the evening hours, maybe from 6 o'clock on or 5 o'clock on, because, you know, food products can affect sleep. But if you're not doing that.
Actually, caffeine and some people, even 7 hours could take before they metabolize it.
Right.
So even the caffeine earlier in the afternoon can also be affecting their sleep.
Right. And also alcohol. A lot of times people have told me that if they'll fall asleep quickly after drinking, but then they'll get up during the night and they won't be able to fall back to sleep.
Yeah.
So it does disturb sleep. But if none of those things apply to you and you're just dealing with a very active mind, my suggestion would be to lie in bed and, again, just follow your breathing. Don't do anything with it. Just keep bringing your mind back as you would if you were sitting during the day for meditation. Keep bringing your mind back to your breath. Follow it in. Have it slow coming in. Wait a couple of seconds, exhale slowly, wait a couple of seconds, inhale slowly, and keep bringing your mind back to that process. No matter how active it is, keep bringing it back to that. And eventually, you will fall asleep. And it does take practice because I know for myself, I've been meditating for over 40 years. And there are times when, you know, my mind still drives me crazy and I can't sleep at night and I have to remember to do the techniques I'm telling you to do. So it does take practice and it takes remembering to do it because you may notice that if you're lying in bed or even anyone who sits for meditation during the daytime, whether we're following the breath or some people have a mantra, which is a few words they repeat. While we're doing those techniques, the mind wanders. And sometimes we'll be following our breath and 5 minutes can go by and we realize, oh, I haven't been following my breath or I haven't been repeating my mantra. That's okay. Keep bringing, as soon as you recognize that, keep bringing it back to the breath. So I would try that. And there's also, I know in Punta Gorda, a couple of yoga centers that I don't know. I know one teaches meditation. I don't know if the other one does. But you could check that out. Or
the other thing is,
look on the internet, too. Yeah. There's a lot of great stuff on the internet.
The other thing is sleep hygiene is very important, which means you keep your room cool. If you can't sleep at night, you have comfortable bedding, no television, no blue lights. You know, the blue lights that are on
the different apparatuses.
Apparatuses also will affect the brain. Those are some of the things. No television, no blue lights, coolness in the room, quiet, dark, all that's important. And I think if you do the meditation, I bet you that will make a big difference for this person.
And also maybe to put on some relaxing music. That may help you too. I know for myself, if I watch a TV program that has violence in it in the evening, that's going to disturb my mind, and it's therefore going to disturb my sleep. So I personally try not to watch those kind of programs before bed. But certainly if you can get some relaxing music, that would help you as well. And combine that with the simple exercise of breathing.
I hope
that will help you.
That's very good. That's very good. I know a lot of people might be asking, does meditation interfere with their religious beliefs?
Great question. Meditation is a state, kind of like we have the waking state, the dream state, the sleep state. None of those interfere with any religion.
Of course.
Meditation is another state. It goes beyond those three states. So it doesn't interfere with any religion. And, you know, a lot of people pray, and they pray within their own religion. And prayer actually leads into meditation, because when a person prays, they're focusing their mind. Again, it's another technique for focusing the mind, because you're concentrating on the prayer. And it relaxes the mind. So then that will lead into meditation. So meditation is really a state of being. And like we said before, mindfulness. Mindfulness is being present. So if we can find joy in what we're being present with, could be anything. We could access some joy in that moment, then we'll have, or we'll begin to accumulate a lot of moments of joyfulness. And, you know, in my practice of psychotherapy and specializing in addictions, a lot of people will say, oh, you know, I'm not a spiritual person. I don't know about this stuff. I've been involved with drugs for all these years and this and that. And for people that are also involved in any 12-step program, spirituality is a big part of recovery. So for people that don't feel spirituality, I'll say to them, okay, well, if you go outside and it's a really beautiful day, and you just walk outside and you breathe the air and you look at the sky and the sun is out, and you say, ah, like, what a beautiful day.
Oh, and we have those here in Florida. They're so beautiful.
So that moment of ah and is a spiritual moment. So keep it simple. So meditation is really just another state of being.
And we have another caller. Hello, caller.
Hey, could you explain, ask the person who's talking,
yes,
explain to me the relationship between yoga and meditation?
Yes, we will. Yoga and meditation.
Okay.
And then we have another caller. Yes, caller?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
This is Jim Duffy, and I have a suggestion for the the lady that has a problem with sleeping or getting to sleep.
Hi, Jim. How you doing?
Doing well.
Good to hear from you.
Yeah, it's been a while. My wife's in respite today.
Oh, okay.
So don't get a chance to listen to your full program every week, but I have, listened in silence, and it's always a good education.
Oh, well, thank you so much. So, Jim, what's your question?
Well, actually, I have an answer for her.
Oh.
About 20 years ago, a psychiatrist told my wife that it might help her sleep if she got a sound machine, which we bought from Conair,
okay.
Conair. And we use it to this day. And it gives different sounds, like breakers on the shore, things like that. And that's the one she generally has.
That's a great suggestion, Jim. And it also combines with listening to very calm, meditative music. I also have one of those sound machines.
You do?
And sometimes they have waves or birds chirping or the wind blowing through trees. And, they're very effective for various things. So thank you. That was a great suggestion, as well as calming music to go to sleep by.
Give a big hug to your beautiful wife, Anne-Marie.
I will. And good talking to you again. And I hope the young lady gets a little respite. But that sound machine is great because there's all different things, as you mentioned.
Great. Well, thanks for your suggestion.
Thanks for your call, Jim. Take care. So we had another question, too, about
yoga and meditation.
Yoga and meditation.
Okay. Well,
the phone lines are hot today. Wow.
Meditation is a form of yoga. You know, a lot of times when people hear the word yoga, they think of the physical exercises, which are called asanas, postures. And that is one part of yoga. There are several parts, meditation being another one. And The connection between the two is that yoga has about 8 branches to it, and meditation is one. Another one is seva, or service. Another one is learning, the knowledge part of yoga, of spirituality. So there are several branches to yoga, not just the physical exercises. So that is, we tend to look outside of ourselves a lot, particularly in the West, where we don't really have a very strong spiritual basis as people do in the East, because we're, a baby country. And when we look outside of ourselves, we become dependent on those things we're looking toward for our happiness and contentment and fulfillment. So yoga teaches us to look within for those things. Because when you look within, you're not dependent on external things. Doesn't mean external things don't bring you happiness. Of course, we enjoy each other's company. We enjoy physical comforts. You ride in a nice car, feels good. A lot of things feel good. But not to be dependent on those things to feel good. So yoga teaches us to go within, to have the resource of joy independent of external things. So in yoga, with asanas, with the postures, the exercises, it is, again, relating to the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
So the physical body is really external to who we are, to who we truly are, our true higher self. So it's a great beginning, and it's certainly healthy to do exercises, particularly when they're combined with breathing exercises and hopefully some meditation. So it's a piece of yoga.
But the beginning of looking inside of you is taking care and loving yourself. Also, you want to take care of the external in terms of health, because many of the illnesses that we have brought upon ourselves.
Absolutely. And a lot of it's related to the mind, and how we think is how we feel. But there are people I've met that have had really poor health, but they're still in a great state of mind because of their attitude toward their condition.
Well, which is true. And as through the years as a doctor, I have seen so many patients that literally patients might come in and you would think that something horrible happened and they had a hangnail.
Right.
And you have other people that come in and they have cancer spread through all their body, and they're so positive and they accept it and they're not going to give up, and they fight it and they say, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep at this. Or even if they have a heart attack, they say, I'm going to change my life. This was a wake up call. Mm-hmm. But again, they're willing to make changes. And their attitude, like you're saying, and they're focusing on themselves.
You know, meditation is a great armament against many things. And some of them are stress, how we think, whether our thinking is healthy or unhealthy, high blood pressure, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, even depression or substance abuse. It protects us. By going within, it protects us against those things. And also difficult emotions like anger or aggression, resentments, impatience. So I named stress first because we have a lot of external stressors in life. Most people have a lot of external stressors. And it comes from, could be the social media, family and friends, financial stressors, health stressors. So, and there's even good stressors. You know, planning a wedding is a joyful occasion, but it could be stressful.
That's
and the
true.
Body doesn't know the difference between good and bad stress. It just knows stress. So we know that when we're stressed out, our cortisol levels change. And with stress, and other chemical reactions happen in the body that they're secreted because of things.
Or raises your blood pressure. You have the flight or fight effect, which elevates your adrenaline.
Affects your breathing,
your heart rate.
Digestive problems.
It also affects your vascular. We know that it promotes inflammation in your arteries if you have your vascular health. So you were talking about the stress, and I was knowing a lot of people have a hard time disconnecting from all the iPhone, the social media, the Facebook, the Twitter, and everything like that to try to focus on their mind.
Correct. Because we're so used to being external. You know, looking outside of ourselves for validation of who we are. People don't know how to look within themselves, to feel good just with themselves. You know, if you're driving in a car, right away everyone puts the radio on. It's a distraction. So if you sit in a car, if you're driving, and for those of you listening, you may want to try this, just be in the car or be in your house without the TV on, without a radio on, and just be. You know, that's the thing about meditation, too. It's a state of being, not doing. You know, we should be called human doings instead of human beings, because not too many of us know how to just be with ourselves. And meditation gives us the opportunity to set aside those 5 or 10 minutes a day, or whatever you set aside, 20 minutes, an hour.
Well, how often should you meditate?
I think it would be good to meditate every day, once or twice a day. If you have 5 or 10 minutes, longer is better. But, you know, whatever you can do is better than not doing. And just be with yourself. Just be there. And we were talking about mindfulness. Mindfulness is being present. If your mind is very active, if you're sitting or you're going to sleep, try not to do anything with the mind. Just let it do its own thing and pay attention to your breathing. Coming in, going out, just naturally. Don't manipulate it. You don't have to do anything. Just keep bringing your attention back to your breathing. And if you want to create a couple of words that bring you comfort, to repeat that with your breath, that's great also. And don't judge yourself and be harsh on yourself if you have an active mind, because sometimes that could make us more irritated. Like, oh my God, my mind is so active, I'm supposed to be going to sleep, it's disturbing my sleep. And we like do this whole chip on ourselves about it. So we need to learn to be more gentle with ourselves. We have an active mind. Be gentle with yourself about the active mind. See it as a kid that needs attention, but let it get its attention. I know later on. I know for me, if I'm going to bed and I have an active mind, there's nothing I could do about whatever it is my mind's thinking because it's bedtime. So I'll actually talk to my mind as if it's a separate entity, and I'll say, okay, I know you really want my attention now, and we have a lot of things to think about, and tomorrow we have a lot of things to do, but we can do them all in the morning, and we can put it aside now because I really need to get a good sleep so we can do them in the morning in a restful way. So you're talking to your mind like this separate entity, and if it knows you're going to give it attention in the morning, just like that kid knows in 5 minutes its mother's going to play with it.
Yeah.
Then the mind will eventually learn to relax and quiet so that you could have a good sleep.
Now, you have a lot of years of training because, talk to us, you were in India, right?
Yes. Yes. So I lived for 5 years in India in an ashram, which is a spiritual community. I had a great meditation master as my teacher for those years and more. And I also lived in America for a few years in an ashram with him. And meditation was a big part of my discipline in the ashram. Not everybody sat for long periods of time and meditated. But for me, I loved meditation, and I did it a lot and felt the benefit of it.
That is really wonderful. And, you know, what you're talking about is becoming, like you were saying, a lot of big companies like Google, they have, mm-hmm. inside their own companies, they have a labyrinth where people can do walking mm-hmm. meditation.
It's unbelievable.
They have classes. They have lunches where people don't speak, mm-hmm. and all they do is either have a quiet time to meditate. They have what's called a Search Inside Yourself Leadership Institute. So this is mm-hmm. a lot of big companies like Google are using this to help people to be able, obviously it's going to help the bottom line of the company, but it's to help the workers inside the company to have more, like you were saying, mindfulness. And
it strengthens the mind.
It strengthens the mind.
The discipline of it.
And it improves their workability.
Correct.
It improves their health, their overall mm-hmm. health. So, I mean, this is more and more people are realizing the benefits.
Right. And it's interesting that if they have people eat in silence, because in the ashram, we also ate our meals in silence. So what does that do? It helps you, again, to be mindful of eating. You're concentrating on the process of just eating your food, which can be great nectar. It's not just shoving food in your mouth. It's really paying attention to what am I doing, you know, and how is this food really feeding me? So concentration strengthens the mind, and I think people are happier with a strong mind, because usually the mind, you know, we're a slave to the mind. If we have a weak mind, we're a slave to it. So by strengthening it, we become the master of our own mind. And that's what meditation really helps us to do.
Well, what you're saying is that if you strengthen the mind, you could see where this could help you for such things as smoking cessation,
everything,
and weight loss. You
everything.
Know,
everything. It creates discipline.
It really, you had a question?
No, this is, I wanted to tell you both a little story about the wisest man I ever knew, who was my dad, Richard Galloway. Years and years ago, I mean, it must have been 10 years old. And I asked him, how did you get so smart? And he said, because I read. I don't watch it on television. I don't watch a movie. I read and I concentrate. And his favorite activity at the end of the day was to sit on the back porch and, as he said, listen to the grass grow. He likened the mind to a muscle. He didn't say the brain is a muscle, but he said it acts like the muscle, because the more you use it, the stronger it becomes. And if you don't use it, it atrophies.
Absolutely.
So he was right,
beautiful.
Wasn't he?
Yes, he certainly
that
was.
That is beautiful, yeah.
He was a wise man.
He was.
Well, that's like, I love to read too. Mm-hmm. And reading does transport you, but it's not meditating, because your mind is capturing all that information.
Correct. Eventually, when a person does create the discipline of meditating, in time, the mind becomes very, very quiet. So for me, you know, some of my greatest experiences is where my mind has become totally quiet, where I just experience myself. And I believe, like, everything is energy, and I would experience myself as just pure energy. And the feeling of that is pretty incredible. And it reminds me that that's who I really am in my essence. Mm-hmm. I'm that pure energy. And that's what I take with me from life to life, not this body. So, yes, it's important to take care of our body and to eat well and sleep well and exercise and all that stuff. But it's really who we are inside that is the most important thing and has the most important effect. And I think it's beautiful what your father said about listening to the grass grow. Because I have a glider that overlooks a river we live on. And my husband and I always say that the river is our entertainment, because we have no neighbors or anything. And we could just sit and watch the river for hours. And it's, you know, it looks like nothing's happening. It's just this river. But there's so much entertainment if you really pay attention. And that in itself is a meditation, to be out in nature and just, you know, be where you feel peace.
It is. And when you can hear, like in the morning, the birds singing.
Oh,
and
I love it.
And then you could hear the leaves rustling. And one of my favorite, I love when it rains.
Oh, yes.
I love rain. Mm. You hear it falling on the ground. It's so soothing. Mm-hmm. You hear it. I have a tin roof. You mm-hmm. hear it on the tin roof. I have an old Florida house. So I just love to hear rain. And while other people say, oh, it's a dreary, rainy day, my first mm-hmm. word is, oh, my gosh, everything's going to be so nice and green.
Yeah. Rain is very meditative.
I love rain. I love the smell of rain. I love the rain on the plants. Mm-hmm.
I lived through a few monsoons in India, and it was an incredible time. It was very difficult, but it was an incredible time because it was so peaceful and everything became so quiet.
Well, we have our guest today, Carol Katz. Thank you so much, Carol. It was wonderful.
It's been great being here. Thank you.
And thank you all for listening, and thank you to our callers. Thank you, Zane. This is Dr. Elizabeth Triana, The Slippery Slope of Lipids. Stay healthy. Don't go down that slippery slope. And listen to us every Friday from 11 to 12.
Remember to keep breathing.
Keep breathing and stay healthy. Bye-bye. Thank you.
WCCF, Punta Gorda, Port Charlotte. Coming